Thank you for joining us for our podcast today. This message was originally recorded on June 11th, 2006. In the year 1728, a young man by the name of Jonathan Edwards accepted a call to a church with which he had very high hopes. He was a graduate from Yale, and the church welcomed him and made him one of the most generously paid ministers in New England. Perhaps all of the warm welcome set Edwards up for disappointment, because he found, according to his sermons, a people enthralled by money and captured by self-serving social aspirations. The town may have been reputed for its godliness, but he saw religious formalism without true conviction. Cruelty towards the lower economic sorts and social factions fueled by jealousy and envy. In preaching on Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 27, he even observed that people sat like stones through the worship service in what he called stupid, sleepy, distracted, and preoccupied with business and other matters. It all confirmed his growing conviction that he needed to preach about sin, and sin was a social fact, an empirical truth, that people were depraved, vicious, angry, envious, hateful, and spiteful in their deepest natures. They had not an ounce of godliness about them. And Edwards went on to great lengths to illustrate this point with embarrassingly specific details about his own congregation, which, of course, I will not do today. But he didn't mention any names, it says. This is what he says: in the depth of their sin, this was most evident. In the depth of their sin was most evident their refusal to admit their helplessness. They believed that they were somehow good enough to educate or train themselves in the way of salvation. They confided in their status as church members without seriously considering how depraved they were and unable to effect the heartfelt change that they needed. And Edwards concluded that one of the preacher's first tasks was to provoke people to a deeper apprehension of their profound hostility to God and to neighbor. Now, of course, this doesn't sound like the most enthusiastic message known to man, but this was Jonathan Edwards 300 years ago who looked at the church, and this was supposed to be a church in a town that was godly and a church filled with godly people, and this is what he saw: a people filled, of course, with depravity and sin, and people who would not willingly admit that. And I am fully convinced that our own worst enemy is ourselves. We blame most of our problems on everything else around us. It is either the devil or other people or things of that nature, when the truth is we are masters at self-deception. We are able to deceive ourselves, and not only are we able to deceive ourselves, we are extremely good at it. We have this down pat. We are able to tell ourselves that everything is okay, and that our relationship with God is okay, and all of these other things are okay that we're doing. We can constantly tell ourselves that my spiritual life is fine, and tell ourselves that we don't have a problem, that we are committed to God, that we are committed to His Word, and we believe that as long as we have said the prayer and come to church as much as we possibly can, and be a good person as much as we possibly can, that we're doing okay, that everything is fine and everything is good. We have a way of deceiving ourselves, and that is seen by the fact that there is much more. There is so much more to Christianity than this. There is so much more to God and to God's Word and to the church and to the Christian who is saved by Christ than simply a church service, a few ministries, and some praying and just reading. And that's just surface level. There is so much more to God than this. God's Word contains such depth, and the very words of God can change lives forever. It has incalculable power to affect the hearts of sinners all over the world. And yet, we have a tendency to treat it as if it's no big deal. That is most evident in how very little the Word of God seems to affect our lives. When something affects me, and what I mean by that, there is something out there that affects me. It, it, uh, It moves me, it touches me, it changes me. When something does that, I am changed. And in fact, 3 months ago to this very date, I stood upon this stage and I stood up here and took one of God's greatest and most precious gifts to me to be my wife. And as I did so, that affected me. That changed my life. Because I could not marry Kendall and stay the same. It was impossible. You cannot both get married and stay single. It is an impossibility. It just doesn't happen. And I can tell you that today she is probably the single greatest influence on my ministry and my life, even now, and it's only been 3 months. Where I lack, she makes up for my shortcomings. She's able to make me greater than I am and than I was before. And it is with her that I have found a greater passion for ministry, a greater passion for our students, a greater passion for and desire for the future ministry that I hold. And I can tell you that I wouldn't trade the last 3 months for anything in my life. And it is something that has affected me. It has changed me in everything that I am, in every aspect of my life, and everything that I do. She is a part of it. Because that is something that has changed me. And folks, that is the same way that the Word of God should affect our life. It should be such a precious, precious gift to us that it enters our lives and changes us forever. It should so affect our lives that every aspect of everything that we do is affected and changed and touched by God and by Scripture. But it seems so that we have divorced ourselves from the Bible and from the church and from God. While we visit it now and then and still believe that it is very much a part of who we are, spiritual and godly things are so very minuscule when we look at the big picture of our life. We get so caught up in just living life that we have very little time left for godly things and very little regard left for the one who gave us life. We have become too busy and too preoccupied with all of these other things in life, and we deal with work and with living life and all the stuff that we have to deal with and all of the issues that we deal with. When you walk out these doors and you're back to life and everything is going on in your life, we deal with all of this stuff, and we spend so much time with it, and we're so preoccupied by it that it seems that we slowly start drifting away from the things that should be forefront in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds. And I have a small phrase for you that I want you to remember. If you can write this down, go ahead. But remember this: busyness. And what I mean by busyness is I mean that being so busy that you're preoccupied with so many other things in life that you don't take as much time with God's Word and with church and with the things that you should, because you're so busy with everything else. Busyness equals shallowness. Write that down. Remember that. If you're too busy, you're going to be shallow. And I'm talking about not just things of life, but things of ministry too. If you're the type of person who gets involved in so many different ministries and you have 15 different things going on at once and you're doing this ministry and that ministry and this ministry and you're involved in all of this stuff and it takes so much of your time that you have little time for personal growth with God, it's the same thing. Busyness, being too busy, being unable to say no, equals shallowness. It leads us to live shallow lives. The less time we spend with something, the less time we know about it. If I spent 1 hour a week with my wife, we would have a very shallow and almost non-existent relationship. It's the same way with God and God's Word. You spend 1 hour at church, you spend, 10 minutes reading the Bible before you go to bed, and you do that 5 times a week, and that's all the time you have with God. It's a very shallow relationship. If Sullivan High School were to offer teenagers only one class a week, and that class lasted for only 1 hour a week, we would have some very shallow students who knew very, very little. There's a reason that school lasts every day for that many hours. It is so that they learn, that they understand, that they grow, and it is the same way with God and God's Word. In the same way we spend less and less time with godly things, we will become shallow and spiritually immature Christians. And here's a problem. Here's an issue. And that issue is immaturity. And that's what I want to talk about today. The title of the message today is actually An Old Problem in a New World. Because this is a problem that 300 years ago Jonathan Edwards saw. This is also a problem that 2,000 years ago the writer of Hebrews saw. He saw something that was within the people. And these are Christians. These are born-again Christians. But he saw an issue. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 14 today. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. This is what it says. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Today we're dealing with an old problem in a new world. What I mean by that is this is a problem that has been for generations and generations past something that Christians deal with. And what I want to do today is I'm going to actually look at the negative aspects of immaturity rather than looking at the positive things. And the reason I'm doing that is I want to flip this around a little bit and maybe a different way that you've heard a message like this before. But I'm going to point out or look at the negative aspects of spiritual immaturity so that you can both avoid them and overcome them. And now, and I'm not sitting here saying that everybody in here is spiritually immature. I don't know that. And I'm not saying that everybody in here is mature. I don't know that either. That's something between you and God, and you can deal with that today. But if there's anything that you get today, I want to challenge you to overcome and to avoid the four distinct characteristics of an immature Christian. That's what we're going to talk about today. I want to challenge you to avoid and overcome four distinct characteristics of an immature Christian. And what you're going to get from that basically is we're going to talk about four different characteristics of an immature Christian, and you're going to be able to say, okay, I either deal with that or I don't. I'm beyond that or I'm dealing with that. But we're also, it's going to be able to show you what a mature Christian looks like when you look at immature ones, okay? So, an old problem in a new world. The first distinct characteristic of an immature Christian is dullness towards the Word of God. The first distinct characteristic of an immature Christian is dullness towards the Word of God. Look at me, look with me, and look at me at the same time. I don't know how you can do it. Look with me in verses 11 and chapter 5 of Hebrews. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. The writer of Hebrews has been talking throughout Hebrews about things that they had spiritually in the Old Testament and these Hebrew believers believed in. And we're talking about sacrifices and priestly orders and the temple and all of that stuff. And he began to compare all of the Old Testament stuff to Jesus Christ, basically saying that Jesus' sacrifice was so much greater than the sacrifices of the priests of their day, that the temple that is in heaven is so much greater than the temple that was on earth. And so in Hebrews, he is comparing Jesus with their practices of the day and saying Jesus is far greater and far better and all of these things. And he began to compare Jesus, and when he did that, he stopped in the middle to make a small comment, and this is what he says. About this, we have much to say. I have a lot to say about Jesus being the high priest, being greater than all others. And it is hard to explain. It is something that is difficult to explain. And this is why. You have become dull of hearing. And the word dull actually is a word for sluggish, which means kind of slothful, lazy. And so they're having a difficult time, and they can't understand the message that he has for them because they're dull of hearing, and they're slow, they're sluggish, slothful. They're experiencing spiritual apathy and laziness that is preventing their spiritual development. Jonathan Edwards noticed that in his congregation. He said they sat and they stared and they thought about other things. The assumption here is that this is something that is their own fault. Okay, this is the assumption. This is something that's their own fault. It's something that has happened to them. It says, you have become dull of hearing. You're not growing. You're not moving forward. You're just dull of hearing. They were no longer capable of receiving solid instruction because they had closed their ears to God's message. One of the first signs of dullness towards the Word or dullness towards God is dullness towards the Bible. Anything spiritual that seems dull to you. You go to Sunday school and it's just dull and it's boring and you don't learn anything new and there's nothing there that challenges you. You hear the Word of God preached or you hear and you read the Word of God and it doesn't affect your heart. You have no feelings towards it whatsoever. It doesn't touch you or change you in any way. It doesn't move you. You just kind of sit there and listen to it. You hear it, but there's no change in your life. It doesn't produce anything within you. It doesn't give you a passion for God. It doesn't give you a greater love for God. It's just simply dull to you. That is one of the first signs that you have grown dull of hearing. Because God's Word is far much greater than that. It isn't dull. It is powerful. It has the power to change lives and to touch people and to move nations. This, however, is not a new problem. And you know, I've been talking about Jonathan Edwards and his congregation of the 1730s. He actually decided to do something about that, and so he preached a message to them. And in our hypersensitive society, I'm sure a few pastors would have preached this message. This is what he said to his own congregation. Telling men of their perishing necessity of a Savior, their guilt, and setting forth the sufficiency of Christ's salvation, telling them what a complete redemption Christ has wrought and how fully His blood has satisfied divine justice, how acceptable Christ's obedience is to God and how safe it is appearing in His righteousness and how glorious the blessings are that He has purchased and how amiable this person of Jesus Christ is and how willing He is and how He has invited them to Him, it all signifies nothing to persuade them. And by them here, he means his own congregation. Telling them of all of this stuff, it signifies nothing to persuade them. They're not moved by it. They're not touched by it. And the title of this message that he gave to his congregation is Stupid as Stones. And he repeated it over and over again. Why do you not receive this word? Why do you not hear it? Because you are stupid as stones. I'm sure if Scott got up there and began to preach that message, that would be a problem, especially in today's society. You're telling me I'm stupid as a stone. He is saying, I am preaching to you. I am telling you of God's word, and you are not moved by it. You are not changed by it. You are as if you were a rock, and I am sitting here preaching to a rock because you are unmoved. That's what he was saying. It is of no use to you. It is as if I am speaking to a bunch of rocks, but I'm going to be judged for what I say. So I'm going to keep on saying it, and you are going to keep on hearing it. And it says, I'm going to keep on saying it, and you are going to keep on not hearing it. Then he says this to them, you have very little regard for God's word, but you will regard it one day. On that day of judgment, you are going to give a great deal of attention to this word. When it is thrown at you like hot iron, you are going to wish you had heard it. That was Jonathan's message to his congregation. And basically he is saying, wake up! They have grown so dull of hearing that the message of God hasn't affected their life, it hadn't touched them in any way. And he is saying, wake up! Listen to this. This is important. This should change you and move you and touch you. There's a problem here. And see, the writer of Hebrews saw the same thing. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. So the first characteristic of an immature Christian is dullness towards the Word of God. I've entered a period in my lifetime where I had become dull to the Word of God. I will admit that to you. There was a period in my life, and it lasted almost 2 years, that I would open the Bible and I would read, and it would mean nothing to me. that I would stand up on Wednesday night and talk to youth and tell them about a message that did not change me or touch me. I have grown dull to God's word, and I didn't recognize it. I didn't realize it, but things were boring to me. Nothing challenged me. Nothing touched me. Nothing moved me. I had grown so dull that it meant nothing to me, and my heart was so hard that God couldn't change me because I wouldn't let him. That is a distinct characteristic of immaturity, someone who is not growing. I, of course, moved past that, praying to God that God would touch me, because I got to a point where I just got on my knees before God and said, God, I can't hear you. I don't know where you are. I am so far from you. I feel lost. I'm so far away. Please, please help me. God opened my eyes. He drew me back into himself, where his word began to affect my life and touch me and change me and move me in such a way that I can't even explain it, what it feels like, what I have experienced, and simply by the power of the word of God. So an immature Christian begins to be dull in their hearing and dull to the word of God. If everything else in life becomes just a little more important and our spirituality slowly slips down the priority scale, we become lazy Christians, unwilling to put any work into maturity. We become so busy with everything else in life that we have no time for God, and the first thing that goes in our life is our quiet time. The second thing that goes is going to church. The third thing that goes is praying for God. Everything else goes when it comes to everything else in life. So we get so busy that we start missing all of these opportunities. We get slowly, slowly farther away from God, and we become more dull of hearing, until finally we are just deaf. So the second characteristic of an immature Christian is an inability to accomplish your purpose in life. Inability to accomplish your purpose in life. Look with me in the first part of verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. So here we have a message that says, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need to be something. One of the things that we begin to understand is we say that teaching is a calling. Preaching and all of that stuff, that's a calling. However, there is a general call to all Christians. We are called to teach, in that we are called to share our faith with others, to reach out, to share what we have experienced with God. And if God's word isn't touching you, and if it isn't changing you or moving you in any way, how can you share that with anybody else? You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, you've been a Christian long enough that by now you should be teachers. But you're not. There's a problem here. There's an issue that we need to deal with. They have a purpose. They should be able to reach and teach others around them, but they can't because of their immaturity. Instead of being able to help others, the Hebrew Christians were in need of learning the simple elementary truths of God's word all over again. And by the simple elementary truths of God's word, I mean just the simple message. And while I do believe that the simple message is very important, the message of Jesus, the message of salvation, and just the simple things are very important, I believe that they are important to new Christians. You see, there is a fact here. There's a fact of life that we deal with. You're born as a baby. You drink milk. As you grow, you get bigger. You need different things to nourish you. You grow bigger and bigger in life, and finally you grow into an adult. And if you are an adult still drinking baby formula, that's a problem. There is an issue here. There is a problem. But when we look at Christianity, you know, and we see people who are Christians and they come to church and all that stuff, we're like, well, we don't need to judge people because, you know, they are saved. True. But you can be saved and still not hear from God. You can be saved and still be so immature that your hearing is so dull that you cannot be affected by the word of God and so unmoved, because by this time you should be a mature Christian, you're still drinking milk. And not only that, he says that you have to be taught the elementary truths of God all over again. Over and over again. And I can understand how hard it is for Christians to reach out to others and start telling others about Jesus when we ourselves need to be taught the elementary truths again. That is a curse in Christianity today, in our society. The fact that our outreach is so minuscule. We have such a hard time reaching out and reaching others and that type of thing. And a lot of it is the very fact that we don't spend enough time in it ourselves in order to reach out to others and that type of thing. So they had a purpose in life, a purpose to teach and to reach and to tell people about their experiences with God and all of this stuff, and they couldn't do it because they were immature. In the same way, parents. If you have children or teenagers or whatever, if you are going to be a parent, whatever it may be, you have a spiritual and moral responsibility to teach your children. You are responsible. The church is not responsible. You are. In fact, you are the single most influential person in the life of your child. And that has been proven over and over and over again. And even a recent study in youth ministry I was reading, and it's like something like 88 to 90% the parents are 88 to 90% more influential in their students' life than anybody else, even their own peers and all of everybody else that is involved in their life. I think that is significant because parents have the not only the responsibility but the ability to teach their children about God and about what being a mature Christian is all about. And it should motivate us to be even more mature in our faith so that those who we must teach, our children, the people around us, our families, would understand and see what it means to truly be a mature Christian, sold out to God and changed and moved by Him. So the second characteristic of an immature Christian is simply an inability to fulfill a purpose, to teach, to do the things that God has called us to do. Thirdly, the third distinct characteristic of an immature Christian is failure to grow up. Simply that, a failure to grow up. And look in the second part of verse 12. First part says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." We need to understand the distinction here. Needing milk as an infant is okay. So if you're a new Christian here today and you're not familiar with all of this stuff and you're not familiar with the Bible and you were just recently saved, then to say that you are a babe in Christ and in need of milk is perfectly okay. That is where you should be. And in fact, everybody who has ever become a Christian should have been at this stage where we are new at things and we need milk. We need the elementary truths of God taught to us. That is perfectly okay. That is right. But see, at some point in your life as a Christian, you need to move on. At some point in your life, you need to stop drinking milk and start taking in the solid food, which the writer of Hebrews says is so difficult because you're hard of hearing, dull of hearing. So we need to grow up. The idea of milk represents the beginning level of instruction for Christians. Think about it this way. If you have a 15-year-old who is still having trouble passing kindergarten, you would understand that there's a problem. But if you have a Christian who's been a Christian for 50 years and has never moved past the stage of needing milk, do you recognize that as being a problem? It's a big problem. And it is an issue that it's affected Christianity throughout the years. For years and years, we've dealt with these issues. A Christian that has never reached the solid food phase is seriously defective. A Christian who has never reached the solid food phase is seriously defective. There's a problem. There's an issue. It is the issue of immaturity. There's more to Christianity than simply beginning level stuff. There is more to it than simply coming to church, giving a tithe, saying some prayers, and listening to a message. There's more to it than this. When people look at Christianity from the outside, this is what they see, the basic beginning level stuff. But when you are into it and you truly have an intimate relationship with God and you are truly touched by Him and changed and moved, and the Word of God as you read it fills you up inside, and you are so full of the Word of God and so moved and touched by it that it becomes something that is a part of every single aspect of your life and everything you do in life and everything you think in life about the world and about people and about everything, when it is changed and moved inside of you because of God's Word, and you are growing in Christ, you are growing to maturity. This is something that can happen every single day of your life. Until the end, you have opportunity to grow. That's the good thing. God has given us this opportunity to grow in Christ, where this Word actually affects us and touches us and changes us. You see, this is the Word of God. And we know who God is. God is far greater than any of us and beyond us. He has created us. He's created this world. He's created everything in it. And this is God we're talking about. He is not shallow, and neither is His Word. He is very deep. And when you are mature enough to drink in the depth of this Word, it will change you forever. And that is available to you. Did you hear that? That is available to you. You have that ability. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. That is available to you. For the mature Christian, solid food is appropriate. The writer of Hebrews is saying, look, I have solid food for you. It is here. But you're still drinking milk. You can't chew it yet. And you need to move on because you've been Christian long enough that you should be at this stage, and you're not. And that's a problem. Now, let me make this distinction as well. He's not talking about intelligence either. Some people say, well, I just can't understand this stuff because I'm not intelligent enough. I don't have... He's not talking about that. You don't have to be an extremely smart individual. You don't have to be extremely intelligent. You don't have to have had... gone to college for years and years in order to understand this. This is not what he's saying. He is saying that you need spiritual discernment and understanding that comes only from practice in the Word of God and being changed and moved by God and God working in you. You need to be able to discern the Word of truth and to understand it and to apply it to your life. The fourth distinct characteristic of an immature Christian is being untrained, unskilled, and inexperienced in the use of God's Word. Verses 13 and 14 say, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Do you know that life itself can teach us a lot about Christianity? Life itself can teach us a lot of lessons about Christianity. Number one, if you want to gain any skill in life, that takes practice, right? So for instance, if you want to play the piano and you want to be really good at it, like you want to be like Mozart, you're not going to just like open a book and start jamming out on the piano and become Mozart. It just doesn't happen. It takes years and years of practice. And it takes years and years of working on it and practicing with it and blood, sweat, and tears to become great at something. In the same way, many of you will understand with sports. In order to be good at sports, you have to practice. That is why that if you join a sports team, you have to go to practice after practice after practice after practice, because you are developing skills and you are developing experience to help you be better at something that you do. You're going to develop these skills and experiences that you need to be successful at what you are trying to accomplish. And we understand that. We understand that in our life because that happens with anything. If you want to be good at something, you'll do. You will work with it. You will try to experience it. You will work hard at it. You will practice it. Why don't we take that and apply that to our own Christianity? A lot of times we think that Christianity is easy. It's not. In fact, sometimes forcing myself to come to this word is one of the hardest things I've ever done. Because there's so many other things in life that grab my attention and pull me away from that. And I can very easily miss reading this word and praying to God and not even notice. Christianity is not easy. It's difficult. But it's worth it. And it is something that we have to force ourselves to do. We have to force ourselves to get into this. As soon as I open this up and begin to read it, you could probably never get me to stop. I mean, I just, once I get into it, it grabs me and it pulls me in, and I don't want to quit. But just getting to the point where I open it, that's the problem. And you see, this is something that we have to practice in life. And look in verse 14. He says that the solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. Listen to that again. Trained by constant practice. Just as much as you practice anything else in life, you have to practice this. You will never have a greater relationship with God than what you are willing to give Him. If you're willing to give Him 1 or 2 hours a week, that's about as shallow as your relationship will ever be. We have to give Him everything, our all. The writer of Hebrews claims that the immature Christians are unskilled in the word of righteousness compared to the mature Christians who have been practicing this and are able to discern, get this, good from evil. Who is it that is able to discern good from evil? According to the writer of Hebrews, it is the mature Christian. You see, when you're a baby, you have very little discernment. And we notice that by the fact that babies put just about anything that they can get their hands on into their mouths. And a lot of times, if you have little toys that you get from McDonald's, it'll have a choke hazard warning. Why? Because babies will take that and put that in their mouths because they have no discernment. They can't understand. I was at the hospital one day, and I was visiting somebody in the hospital, and there was a small child in there, and he had in his hand a treat that he was eating. This is a child that has no discernment because he had sat on the floor and he was taking his treat and rubbing it on the hospital floor. Okay, now this is disgusting, and I'm being grossed out, and I'm trying to talk to the person who's in the hospital bed, and I'm just staring at this child so grossed out. And as I reach out to try to stop him, he grabs it and goes, hump, and puts it in his mouth and eats it. Very little discernment. And then I was grossed out the rest of the day. I couldn't eat lunch or anything like that. But when you are a child, you don't have as much discernment as when you grow older because you gain experience in life. You gain maturity. You gain understanding. And as you become more mature, you become able to discern. Those who are spiritually mature are those who can discern between good and evil. What is right and wrong for your child? What is right and wrong for your life? What is right and wrong for yourself? And everything in your family and all of the stuff that you deal with in life. What scripture is true and what preachers in this world aren't. That discernment comes from someone who is mature. But someone who is immature is untrained, unskilled, and inexperienced in the use of God's word. Preacher once said that most Christians are betweeners. They're between Egypt and Canaan, out of the place of slavery, but not yet into the promised land. They are between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They have been saved by the blood of Christ, but they are not yet enjoying the newness of the resurrection of life. And I ask you today, are you an in-betweener? Are you in between? Have you yet moved from drinking milk to experiencing the solid, deep Word of God that is far greater, far deeper, and far more powerful than anything else. I tell our students that if they search for the rest of their lives for the single greatest thing in this world, they will never find anything greater than the God that they're serving, because there is nothing greater. There is nothing greater than God, nothing greater than His Word. And when you let that take over in your life and change you and move you, and you begin to mature, I don't think you'll recognize yourself. And I challenge you to overcome these characteristics, to avoid them, and to move on to maturity. Let's stand in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray, God, that you would give us the ability and the strength to take your word and to understand it, and I pray that it would fill our hearts and our lives, that it would change us and move us to something greater in life, Father. I pray that you would help us to become more mature. Most of all, God, I pray that you would help us to admit when we're not. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Help us to see the areas in our life where we are immature and need to grow up. And God, I pray that you would begin to change those in us. You know us, you know our hearts. We cannot hide from you today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to give you just this opportunity. If you need to kneel before God where you are, or just pray where you are, or if you want to come up to the front and kneel before God and say, God, I'm immature and I need to grow up, or I need help. If you know that you are not where you're supposed to be with God today, don't miss this opportunity to reach out to Him and to pray. If you need help, I'll be here at the front to receive you. But whatever it may be, don't ignore God today. Don't let your minds be dull to Him today. But open up. Pray to Him. Receive Him. Whatever God calls you to do, you be obedient to Him this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm glad that you could be here, and I hope that you're going to continue to stay with us this morning for Sunday school, and that the God's Word today would touch you again there as well. And I hope that that God continues to carry us on to maturity. It's one of the greatest things that we can experience in life, and I hope that that's something that happens in you. Because when God's Word touches you, you'll never be the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Pray that you'd continue to be with us as we go to Sunday school and as we continue to open your word. And pray that you would change us today, touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts, that we might accept your word. Help us to take a good look at ourselves and see where we are with you and where we need to go and what we need to do. We love you. Praise you. Thank you that you have saved us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening today. Remember that you can get more podcasts just like this one on our website at www.tbcsullivan.com. And if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us with the email address tbc@tbcsullivan.com.